Y'all turn to Ephesians 5, 6 and Galatians 6 right quick. And as I was kind of getting ready, you know, and really asking the Lord what to share, I know we've been gone for about a month. Heidi thought I should put the address in my GPS so I could find the church. And and we have. I mean, we were at Jack Stevenson funeral one Sunday, and then we were in that's Jackie's dad, for y'all don't know, he passed a few weeks ago. I don't remember, we were in Arkansas on our way somewhere. I know it seems like we were gone a bunch, but as I was getting ready, I talked to Corey the other day. I know he preached last week on making a quality decision, and we were talking about things, Howdy, that people, you know, you notice when you listen to people. And you know, Corey, I know that he stresses so much all the time. You know, you make the quality decision to get up every day and expect good things from God to happen to us, and declare it and decree it and to stand in it. And so I started praying. I was praying and reading, and Diane's always, you know, the title of my messages, and so God gave me one this time. Who do you identify as? Because there's a lot of issues with identity today, is there not? You know? And so I'm thinking, oh, that's a good one, you know. Who do you identify as? And so I said, okay, so where we go from there, Lord? And he said, well, you know, let me read Ephesians 5, 6. Are y'all there? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with him. Now, as believers, you know, we're not intentionally being sons. You know, that's describing to me the lost right there when we talk about sons of disobedience. But as a believer, we can choose sometimes to not obey. And when we do, you know, it's not, we walk out from under the secret place of the Most High when we do that. And so it's not the wrath of God coming down on us. It's because we refuse to stay where we're supposed to be that wrathful things happen. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people because good people make bad decisions. And that's just, I think that's it. When we're tuned in, I think. So now, turn back to Galatians chapter 6. And we all know this scripture. And I'll get back there in just a minute. Galatians 6, starting verse 7. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And so I'm like, okay, Lord. Corey talked about making that quality decision. And he said, well, you need to make a quality decision to not let yourself be deceived. And we jokingly talk about the man that thinks he's a woman, the woman that thinks he's a man, and some of them that don't know, that they don't know nothing, you know, but they're deceived. And they're living under the deception of the enemy and don't even know it. And so as I'm thinking about that, I looked up deceived, and the action of deceiving someone, obtaining property by deception. People are the property of God. The enemy is stealing the property of God by deception, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. A thing that deceives, the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So, misleads, hides the truth, often done for personal gain. Now, after I looked that up the other night on, I don't remember if it's Flashpoint, I don't remember which deal I was listening to, but it was one of the Christian news things. They said that this deal with changing the biological boy from a girl and girl to a boy, they stand to make $100,000 off of every one of them they do. Because it's a lifetime thing, because they'll need care for the rest of their lives. I'm going to tell you what, not all the medical community, but there's ones in the medical community in cahoots with the corrupt ones in the pharmaceutical community that's their goal. And they're operating, and you know, they're promoting these leaders that are in this path of deception. Now, we read about Herod praying there, Lord, if you're not going to change his heart, kill him. I want to tell you what, and I'm going to say this without any reserve, no excuses. This is one nation under God, and we the people and the church, we have allowed the corrupt individuals that right now, because of our not taking active parts, praying, being careful about who we put in charge of God's government, we have ones in there that should not be there. However, it's about to explode. And they will pay the consequences of it. There will be some of them fixing to be taken out. I believe that with all my heart. They're coming down. They may not like it, but I don't care. I don't care how God does it. I'm not asking him a particular way to do it, but it's happening. We have to be diligent in prayer. But as I was talking about this being deceived, you know, and Corey, thinking about Corey ministering on, you know, make that quality decision, he said, this is a little hard, but he said, you know, y'all, as the church, we talk about those that are confused and deceived, and we sometimes we look at it as being more confused than deceived, but this is the enemy deceiving people and stealing their identity from them so they will not fulfill the destiny that God called for them when he formed them in their mother's womb. And he said, but my church, my children, they're going through much of the same thing in not knowing who they are in me. That they are the redeemed, that they're sanctified, that they're delivered, that I've given them authority with the name of Jesus to bring the kingdom of heaven from heaven to earth. He said, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, that's our responsibility, is to cultivate our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to where we hear his voice all the time. To where we stay in constant communication with him. Job 22:21, I keep myself acquainted with you, Father, I may be at peace. There's no peace out from under the covering of the Most High God. And in order to stay in peace, in order to be able to make the right decisions, we've got to stay in that constant communication to where we're talking to him all the time. When we get up in the morning, the Word of God should be going over in our head. As we go throughout the day, when we enter certain situations and circumstances, we should be hearing something from the Father if we're cultivating and training ourselves up in the Word. We have to make the quality decision that I'm going to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. That I'm going to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord my God, who teaches me to profit and leads me by the way that I should go. If I believe that, then I'm going to be conducting my affairs and cultivating that relationship to where the Word of God's on my mouth, in just going all the time. Are y'all okay? Y'all are kind of looking like, I got a job. I got kids. I got other responsibilities. They'll be blessed. Those responsibilities will be easier to take care of. when we cultivate that relationship to where we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He adds the wisdom and knowledge unto us to handle that. It's so important that we recognize the strategy and deceits of Satan, so we got to know the word to put a stop to them by speaking the word of God out of our mouth. There's a word for every situation and circumstance. You know, when it says, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay it. Well, God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a tither and a giver. Satan, you're under my feet. Get your hands off my finances. The sower sows the word, and the thief comes, you know, John 10:10. The thief comes, but not for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The church, we, in order for those people that are being deceived in our area of influence to see Christ, we got to quit being deceived ourselves. And sometimes you think, I'm not being deceived. Well, yes, we are. We're allowing those things to take place, you know, like just simple little illustrations is, well, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. He had no right to say that to me. Well, God says, just be quiet. You know, don't pick that up. Because when you pick that up, you've entered into strife. And when you enter into strife, you walk out from the secret place of the Most High. So you say, Lord, well, what do I do about it? Well, just pray. And as Chip shared on one of his deals when he had the Chip Brim coaching deal he went through, I think we talked about that one time. And his mama told him, Billy said, you got to pray for him. I won't pray for him. I won't kill him. I said, well, that isn't going to work. He said, you're going to have to pray for him. And so he said, I started. And so when someone offends us, we need to pray for them. Bless them, Lord. Wow, this is really hard to get out of your mouth. You know, I really like, Jesse DePlantis, for those that listen to him, you know, Jesse's real. Yes. And the other night on Flashpoint, some of y'all may have caught this a few weeks ago, when they played a clip of one of them really intelligent congressmen or senators from another state said that the border issue was a product of climate change. So Gene Bailey asked Jesse to pray for him. He said, so you want me to pray for this stupid man? And he did. He said, Lord, we're going to pray for this stupid man. And you know, call it what it is. Now see, that's not a guy that's being deceived. He's just plain ignorant and stupid. Some of them, I got no feelings for. It's like, come on. And Jesse said, I like what he said, because he was talking about the man that lives in the White House. I think that's where he lives. He said, Lord, it's really hard to pray for someone you don't like. And he said, I know that, Jesse, but you need to pray for him anyway. And he said, it's getting easier, but I still have an issue with it. You know, it's okay to be honest, because God knows exactly how we feel. You know, we want to pray like Harriet Tubman prayed. Evidently, she was very annoying to pray that at the moment, and it worked. And I know, Betsy, I ain't heard that yet. I ain't got to do that. But the being is, we got to get focused. When we make that decision, God said, these are the ways you implement the decision, enforce the decision, where you carry out the decision, is you make up your mind. No, I'm not. It's no different than Adam, than Satan stealing from Adam and Eve in the garden. He's stealing from us in our garden, where God's planted us, where we're gonna grow where we're planted if we cultivate the ground and keep it fertilized and watered with the Word of God. Y'all turn to Psalms 119. I got to find it. I don't have my Bible that has all this underlined. I had to get a new Bible because all those pages are falling apart. But I think I can find it. Psalms 119. Something we need to confess over yourself. I'm gonna find it. Which verse it is. But it's right at the end of one of the stanza and one of those deals. Let's see. Oh, come on. I won't find it. Psalms Well, let's see. I'm not sure. Anyway, if you read Psalm, there's only 176 verses in it. So you can find out what it says, because it's just one little short sentence, and it says, "I will not forget your word." I'm not finding which verse it is, but oh, yes, it is Psalms 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. You know, I have a lot of people tell me, "Well, I try to remember, but I can't memorize scripture." Well, if you're having an issue with that, take that scripture right there and declare it over yourself and say, "Lord, I will not forget your word. I will remember your word." And as you declare something over and over, you know, this is not a good analogy. But for all you men out there that when you were young and grandpa cussed and you thought that was so cool, did you just automatically start cussing? Or did you have to learn all those cuss words? You know, I had a friend, when he got saved, he said, he cussed really bad. I mean, he invented words. And when he got saved, he said, "Man, Rusty, I'm having a hard time with my mouth." So he called a couple friends of his. He called Jeff Copenhaver's daddy. So it was. He called Deb, and he said, "When you got saved," he said, "you know, you and daddy taught me to cuss as a boy." And he said, "How'd you quit cussing, Deb?" And he said, "It got real, real quiet." And Deb said, "A new set of working pens will help a whole lot." You know, for those of you that work cattle, a new set of working pens will help your vocabulary. I had a guy tell me that. I said one time that it wasn't really cussing if you were working cattle, because it just really just kind of, I don't remember. But you know, there's things we took on early in life before Jesus that things are learned. Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. If we're going to make a quality decision to be a doer of the Word, we have to know what the Word says. We got to train ourselves up. We got a desire to speak the Word till we get to where we just, it's just, that's our nature. You know, to become a partaker of God's divine nature. And we think, it's possible. To where, I don't want to share the things in my life that have been overcome. All of them, there's a lot of them. But as I get older and the more the Word, there was days when I would leave the house after praying and then have one of them fits of carnality out there, Betsy. Brian, I know you didn't have any of those either. And I'm thinking, "Lord, how in the world can I spend that much time in prayer and be that mad that fast?" Well, I let myself be deceived. That don't help. And it's we can't quit. We cannot, as Corey said, we can't be quitters. We have to determine, make up our mind, "I'm going to be a doer of the Word. I don't care. I'm going to be stuck on the Word." It was one of them songs, one of them country music, "I'm stuck on you like glue" or whatever back there years ago. We need to be stuck on Jesus and the Word of God to where it just permeates. You know, I had a guy in church with me tell me one time, "Them people so spiritual, they're no earthly good." I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't spiritual, you ain't no earthly good. He said, "They get so spiritual that they're no earthly good." No, that don't happen. We become, the more spiritual we get, the more benefit we are to the people and those in our area of influence, and to ourselves, to our family, to those around us. But we got to be doers of the Word. We got to get sold out to where I'm going to talk the Word, I'm going to read the Word. As believers, we're children of the Most High God. God's, Ephesians 2:10, y'all know this, but this is who we're to identify as: God's own handiwork, His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew for good works that He's ordained for us to walk in. Before He formed us in our mother's womb, those people that think they're a man, and a man thinks he's a woman thinks he's a man, and then knows that homosexuality, I call it something else. They're being deceived, but if we're being deceived in our everyday walk, we're of no effect because we're caught up in all those little cares of this world, the deceitfulness, the riches, and the lust of other things enter in, our own personal agendas enter in and infect us with deception. And when we get that way, we're not even paying attention to them. We don't have the right answer for them. But when our light so shines before men that they see our Father in us, that when we become a partaker of His divine nature, that light will so shine. In Isaiah 60, it says, "Rise up, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Don't put out the light. Don't put out the glory. We got to cultivate the glory. We got to nurture that glory because God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. In 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, He's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. There are people out there whose eternal destiny depends on us fulfilling our destiny. And we've got to remember those things and not be so... God will handle our affairs. He will bless what we do when we're where He called us to be. He'll direct our steps when we make up our mind that, you know, I am righteous, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I don't care if you had a fit this morning before you got to church. You still are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's 4:17 or something, He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Guys, we are representatives of the kingdom of heaven. And so when we step out, we just repent and get back under. You know, usually repent means turn around. It's like do a 180. We're going to do a baptism this morning. That's what that is a sign of repentance. And repenting of the old way of life and being resurrected into Christ so I can become a partaker of His divine nature. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I do believe we get saved, born again, we get delivered from some things instantly, but we got to walk out the process of life. It's a journey that we have cultivated things in our lives over the years that are contrary to the Word of God. And so we got to get us to file out and sharpen up the tool, and that is the Word of God. It's a shield and buckler to us. It's our shield and buckler. It's the Word that protects and reflects, deflects the fiery darts of the enemy. But without the Word, without speaking the Word, God said, if God said and it took place, we're going to have to say for it to take place. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Make, as Corey told you, make that quality, as we're to make that quality decision, make the quality decision to give the Word of God first place in our lives and start, take just a few scriptures and say, "Lord, I will not forget your Word. This week I'm learning this and I'm committing it to memory." And it grows and God blesses it. And it's whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If we start sowing the Word, we reap the Word. I told Corey that. Sometimes I feel like a broken record. But you know, Corey said, that's our job. We're to preach faith all the time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It takes faith to please God. We all want to please God, so we got to walk by faith. We're by doers of the Word. And when we're doing the Word, we're demonstrating that we believe you, Father, that we truly want to become a partaker of your divine nature. Now, I'm going to hurry up so we can get closed, but y'all know that whenever you commit to this, the enemy's going to come try and steal it because he's going to try to deceive you. And we got to recognize and say, "Lord, I encourage you every morning, say, Lord, I'm going to recognize the strategy and deceit to Satan today. Satan, you keep your hands off of me, my family, but I'm going to recognize him. I'm going to put a stop to him by speaking the Word out of my mouth. If I have to carry my Bible with me to look it up till it becomes a habit, till it becomes so, it's just nature. It's just, I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. I'm going to live that way." Because you know, when something's hurting and you say, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed," it starts hurting worse. You know, whenever
you know, there's something there to be paid, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And then another bill comes in, and you're like, well, I had one I didn't know how I was going to pay. Now I got two I don't know how. You know, listen, the enemy's going to bring that stuff, but that's a strategy and deceit of him to try to get us off the word and to try to get us deceived. And if we'll keep our words in line with his word, we become doers of his word. His word never returns void if we don't let go. If we the seed that we plant will grow if we don't dig it up and kill it. We got to water it and cultivate it and keep it going. And so I hope that what I shared this morning was okay with you. I just noticed in my own life, Howdy, the difference over the years that it's made by, I kept thinking, Lord, will it ever take root? Because sometimes on this, you want to spit the bit and quit, and you're like, and the Lord said, don't give up. You make the decision, you stick to it, you cultivate it, you develop it, you put it together, and it'll grow. And your light will so shine. I'm telling you, every one of us in here, people are dependent on us to let our light shine. I want to see, I so much want to. I don't know how it takes place because I'm going to have to work on my own little attitude a little bit some. But that walking in the midst of the perversion that's out there and the light on me so shine that they, I don't care what they say, but the opportunity, it comes up in me to say and let them know that God, you've been deceived. God didn't form you that way, and share with them. God didn't make, he made a man and a woman, male and female. There should be no confusion as rather which one you are. That shouldn't be a problem, but you've been deceived, and that's to steal your eternal destiny and send you to the pits of hell. And that's a lie from Satan. And when we start being able to say that in a manner that honors God, we'll see them set free. And anyway, I'm going to stop there. Listen, if you're here this morning, I don't figure there's anybody sitting in here, but if you're watching online or anywhere else and you're dealing with that, we want to pray for you. You know, you're just being deceived, and that's not how God made you. So just know that. That's not how God made you. But if there's anyone out there this morning that, man, you want to live the life that God created you to live. He fashioned for each one of us before he formed us in our mother's womb. The first step to doing that is knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and recognizing. You know, I don't believe there's anybody out there that doesn't believe in God. I don't care if they call themselves atheist or agnostic or whatever. They believe in God because they'll always say, oh God, well, where'd they come up? You know, how do they know to say that? But they don't know Jesus, the Son of God that came and bought back what the enemy stole in the garden. And if that's you this morning, you need to first make Jesus the Lord of your life. Turn your life over to him so that you can walk in that fullness of life that God created you to walk in. So if you would be here this morning, that would be you. We're all going to pray a prayer. And we want you to pray that prayer with us today and make Jesus the Lord of your life and be brought into the kingdom of God. So let's all pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, I recognize today that I need Jesus. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. This day, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I turn my life over to you, and I thank you for ordering my steps from this day forward. And I give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today was the day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life and that was you, I accept him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three. Just ask you, raise your hand. We won't get you a Bible. I won't embarrass you. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Thank y'all so much for letting me be here today. We're going to do a baptism. Joey's going to be baptized. Just me. I get the privilege of baptizing Joey. So after Howdy closes, will y'all that want to come, come be a part of Joey's baptism. And y'all have a blessed week. And don't be deceived. Amen. Don't be deceived. Amen.